Happy Monday. If you skip the weekend episodes, don't go back. The Saturday one was pretty meaty. Some good jokes about the debate, and then some stuff from Julia Louis-Dreyfus about Seinfeld was pretty interesting. And if you missed yesterday, I deep dived on Vulture's list of the 20 comedians you should watch and know and all that. One of them is Sarah Cooper. You know Sarah. She pantomimes to Donald Trump on TikTok. Going to talk about Sarah a lot today, but let's start with the late night shows. Did you see President Trump on 60 Minutes? Jimmy Fallon said, seriously, if you're trying to win the senior vote, you can't insult 60 Minutes. That's like trying to win the youth vote by banning TikTok. Jimmy Fallon said, if you're keeping score, Trump attacked 60 Minutes, doctors, and the Postal Service. At this point, seniors are like, do you want us to vote for you or not? Just tell us. We don't have to. Seth Meyers said, President Trump ended a heated interview with Leslie Stahl after he became irritated with the line of questioning. Apparently, he didn't like that there was one. Seth said, while being interviewed by Leslie Stahl, President Trump told aides he thought the interview would be cut up to make him look bad. For example, they could make him look really stupid by cutting from one of her questions to one of his answers. Jimmy Fallon, yeah, Trump bailed early. He was like, I gave them 45 minutes. What else did 60 minutes expect? Kimmel said, this is going to be the best episode of 45 minutes ever. Colbert said, no surprise, Trump always finishes before the woman. That is classic. Jimmy Fallon said, Trump tried to embarrass Leslie by leaking a video of her asking tough questions. Isn't that her job? Next, he's going to embarrass Bobby Flay by leaking videos of him making paella. Trevor Noah said, I mean, think about it. Almost 250,000 Americans have died from COVID-19 under his watch. What was he expecting from the interview? Mr. President, a pandemic has ravaged the country. Millions are still out of work. So my question is, Coke or Pepsi? Seth Meyers said, sorry, that's your big gotcha, the video that Trump released? You couldn't handle that rhetorical question? It's like a boxing ref asking if you're ready for a good, clean fight and responding, nah, I'm going to bite his ear because I'm bad at boxing. Kimmel said, you know, if I'd known you were going to ask tough questions, I would have done the interview with Mario Lopez instead. And Trevor Noah, I think for the win, said, nobody's supposed to answer no to the question, are you ready for some tough questions? You don't answer no to that. It's like at a concert when they go, are you ready to rock? No one in the crowd is like, no thanks, Mr. Bon Jovi. You may have seen that President Trump leaked the interview in advance. Kimmel said Trump got angry, cut his interview with Leslie Stahl short. He released the full interview himself, the dictator's cut, if you will. Seth Meyers said, with less than 2 weeks until the election, as the pandemic rages out of control and millions of Americans suffer the pain of loss and economic hardship, the President of the United States has apparently decided to make his closing message, the TV lady was very mean to me. Jimmy Fallon said, he's the most powerful man in the world, and he spends his time making bootleg episodes of 60 Minutes. James Corden said, but Leslie's partly to blame for this one. You can't start a question to Donald Trump with, are you ready for, and not end it with, some football? And James Corden said, it's amazing somehow that it was easier for Trump to release unauthorized footage from a major television network than it was for him to release his own taxes. Okay, Sarah Cooper. She's got a special coming out tomorrow. You know Sarah. You know what I'm going to say. She pantomimes the Donald Trump on TikTok videos. Sarah Cooper. One of Vulture's 20 comedians to watch. Somewhere the Illuminati decided, we're going to make Sarah a thing. So that special comes out on Netflix tomorrow. I've been looking forward to it. Vulture has a preview of it. It's got some guest stars. The special's titled, Everything's Fine. It's described as, quote, a variety special full of vignettes dealing with issues of politics, race, gender, class, and other light subjects. Sarah's joined by a fantastic array of special guests who participate in short interviews, sketches, and more shenanigans. Ready? And this is why I think the Illuminati got involved here. Cooper will be joined by, and Vulture wrote, take a deep breath. All right, everybody, on three, deep breath. One, two, three. Cooper will be joined by Megan Thee Stallion, Helen Mirren, John Hamm, Ben Stiller, Maya Rudolph, who's producer, by the way, Marisa Tomei, Jane Lynch, Fred Armisen, Aubrey Plaza, Jonathan Van Ness, Connie Chung, Daniel Brooks, Eddie Pepitone, Marcella Orgullo, Jordan Black, Tommy Davidson, Winona Ryder, and the recipient of Vulture's 2020 honorary degree, Whoopi Goldberg. Netflix released several stills from the special, just in case you want to see what John Hamm looks like as the MyPillow guy. So what is this? A variety show with John Hamm and Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph? Yeah. I mean, you know, at that point, let me host Saturday Night Live. I can read jokes. I do it on the podcast 5 days a week. I could suck through a monologue and then, you know, be sucky in a sketch. And then Jost and Che will come on. They'll be funny. And the musical guest will be Bruce Springsteen. And it'll be an okay episode. It won't be Hall of Fame. But if you're going to surround me with everybody, I'm sure Kate McKinnon could make me look good in a sketch if she tried. No. Sarah Cooper special tomorrow on Netflix. Now, on the podcast every day, I've been excerpting from Vulture's 20 Comedians You Should Know, Must Know, whatever the hell it is. And today we'll talk about Sarah Cooper, who Vulture spoke with. Hey, Sarah, when did you feel you were funny enough to make a legitimate go at comedy? Sarah said, when my meetings blog went viral, it gave me the confidence to leave Google and write comedy. And when my lip sync videos went viral, it gave me confidence I could write and perform and produce and do so much more. But don't get me wrong, I still constantly question my own abilities like any normal human woman. Vulture asked, describe your comedy in 5 words. She said, funny, hilarious, comedy, subtle, and comedy. I actually like that she used comedy twice. That is funny. If you weren't a comedian, what would you be doing, Sarah Cooper? She said, taking naps at my tech job and filling the void in my soul with loose men. Sarah, what of your work do you think you're best known for? Sarah Cooper said, my role in Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself as Girl in Blue at Bar, or maybe my TikToks. What's some of the work that you're most proud of, Sarah Cooper? Sarah Cooper, she said, this is going to sound like a plug, but right now I'm most proud of my Netflix comedy special. It's called Sarah Cooper, Everything's Fine, and it premieres on October 27th. But seriously, folks, the opportunity to make it at all fills me with so much pride and gratitude, but I also genuinely love how funny and gorgeous and weird it is. As a writer, actor, or any kind of artist, I have a deep appreciation for how hard it is to make something you yourself genuinely love, especially on such a large scale and under such pandemic conditions. I think that's enough Sarah today. There's more, but I'll do it tomorrow because the special's out tomorrow. I cannot wait. So this next thing I'm going to do, it's pretty random. It's from The Ringer. Josh Gondelman wrote a long article. I want to pick away at it. It's about Dunkin' Donuts' new spicy ghost pepper donut. And it caught my attention. I go to Dunkin' at least 7 times a week, probably more like 9. There are a couple days in the week where I go twice. And I'm not kidding. I love Dunkin'. I've resisted the ghost pepper donut because I'm like, is that something I want in the morning? I don't think so. Josh Gondelman wrote, how could we have predicted this specific manifestation of dark energy? A donut infused with the world's spiciest pepper might seem at home in one of the upscale donatoriums that have sprung up over the last several years in the wake of the collapsing cupcake-based economy, but a ghost pepper-infused donut from Dunkin'? Yeah, offering a spicy ghost pepper donut is technically within the chain's purview, in the same way Dunkin' could conceivably decide to serve individually brewed cups of single-origin pour-over coffee, but doing so seems to violate the spirit of Dunkin' and the ethos of get in and get out. The slogan, after all, is America runs on Dunkin', not American sits down for a while and enjoys Dunkin', unless you're one of each location's obligatory catch of 4 to 8 old men who dominate the seating area from opening until mid-morning. The tables and chairs are for show, as ornamental as your grandmother's decorative soaps. So when I used to work in New York City, I would pop into my suburban Dunkin' location in the morning and see people sitting there, and I'd be like, who has time to sit here and like eat their Dunkin'? Who are these people? Then I was unemployed and I had the time and I still went in and got my stuff and left. And now there's a pandemic, so I get my stuff and I leave. Who are these people that sit there? I'm turning this on. Who are these people that sit at Dunkin'? Gondelman writes, I'm an unapologetic Dunkin' fan, even though I'm more likely to call it Dunks or Dunkies. I've never heard either of those. Or even the original Dunkin' Donuts, refusing to acknowledge its changing identity the same way my dad gives driving directions according to New England landmarks that were demolished 25 years ago. Yes. If you're from New York City, it's the Triborough Bridge. It's the West Side Highway. Stop renaming things. I love that a large Dunkin' iced coffee is twice as big as the largest cold brew you can get from a fancier chain and cheaper too. I love that ordering your coffee regular means with cream and sugar for some reason. Dunkin' iced coffee, which I drink year round like a true mess hole, is the standard against which I judge all other coffee. I also drink iced coffee year round, Josh Gondelman. I'm with you. Not because it's the best, because it was my first coffee and it laid the blueprint for what all iced coffee should be. Voluminous, not too strong, and doctored liberally with creamer and sweetener, sometimes against your explicit wishes. I know we're on a tangent here, but boy, this is just striking a funny with me. And speaking of voluminous, when I was in Europe the last 2 summers, oh my goodness, I would kill for either a large drink or a cold drink. I didn't even need both. I would take one or the other. I started drinking sangrias just because they would sell me lots of liquid and it was cold. When I got home and I walked in at Dunkin', I was like, oh my goodness, give me one of these. Gondelman said, last Friday, I use the proprietary Dunkin' app, which, of course, I already had on my phone. I'm with you, Josh. Me too, man. Absolute way to go. You get points and stuff. By the way, this is not sponsored. This is just me off on a complete tangent. He used the app to order a spicy ghost pepper donut along with his usual iced coffee. We are kinsmen. By the time I got to pick up my order, the coffee was ready, but the donut was gone. He wondered, was the pastry itself a ghost? Figuring that anyone who would steal a spicy ghost pepper donut wanted it more than he did. To avoid the morning rush, he came back a few hours later and paid for a second donut, which he brought home because you don't linger in a Dunkin'. The spicy ghost pepper donut is not as visually frightening as the name suggests. It looks like a regular strawberry frosted donut, a Homer Simpson donut if that helps, but with a dusting of bright red sugar sprinkled on top of the frosting to suggest danger. This donut bites back. At first, it tastes pretty much like a regular strawberry frosted donut too, which is to say, alarmingly sweet. Then after the sweetness fades, the spice emerges. It's not an aftertaste exactly. It's more like a second, separate taste. There's no real synergy between the two flavors. It's just one then the other. Imagine a Dropkick Murphy song that ends with a flamenco breakdown. The triumph of the spicy ghost pepper donut isn't so much that it's good, it's that it is. I read a lot there, but it is much longer. It is in The Ringer, and you should absolutely read that. I think we've done enough damage for today. That's your daily comedy news. Sarah, if you want to tell me I suck, I agree with you, but you could tell me myself. I'm at DCN Pod, at DCN Pod, or yo, you can hit my personal at McD Radio, at MCD Radio, or go nuts on my Facebook page, facebook.com/dailycomedynews. Everybody else, follow on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and hey man, tomorrow, Sarah Cooper Variety Special on Netflix. Make sure you get your sleep in. See you then.